We are very fortunate to have His Grace Sachipran Gaurahari Prabhuji here with us today. And Prabhuji would be enlightening us by walking us through Srimad Bhagavatam 4.9.22. So I did hear Prabhuji on the call already. So thank you so much, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for giving us your valuable time today and association as well. I would like to hand over the call to you now. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, everyone. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Nashta Prayesha Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Tamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Nama Pankaja Navaya Nama Pankaja Maline Nama Pankaja Netraya Namaste Pankaja Angraye Aradhya Bhagavan Vraje Shatanaya Staddama Vrindavanam Samya Kaji Dupasana Vrajavadu Vargenava Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanamamalam Prema Pumato Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabho Matamidam Tatradara Napana. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 9, titled Dhruva Maharaj Returns Home. So we'll try to cover verses 22 and 23 today. Verse number 22. Prasthite tu vanam pitra datva gandharma samshayaha satrimshad varsha sahasram rakshita avyahata indriya. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Abhay Chanarinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. After your father goes to the forest and awards you the rule of his kingdom, you will rule continuously the entire world for 36,000 years, and all your senses will continue to be as strong as they are now. You will never become old. But in the Satya Yuga, people generally lived for 100,000 years. Dhruva Maharaj ruling the world for 36,000 years was quite possible in those days. Verse number 23. Svadbhratari uttame nashte Mrugyayantu tanmana anveshanti vanam mata davagnim sa pravekshati. The Lord continued, sometime in the future, your brother Uttama will go hunting in the forest, and while absorbed in hunting, he will be killed. Your stepmother Suruchi, being maddened upon the death of her son, will go to search him out in the forest, but she will be devoured by a forest fire. But Dhruva Maharaj came to the forest to search out the Supreme Personality of Godhead with a revenging spirit against his stepmother. His stepmother had insulted Dhruva, who was not an ordinary person, but a great Vaishnava. An offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava is the greatest offense in this world. Because of having insulted Dhruva Maharaj, Suruchi would become mad upon the death of her son and would enter a forest fire, and thus her life would be ended. This was specifically mentioned by the Lord to Dhruva because he was determined for revenge against her. From this, we should take the lesson that we should never try to insult a Vaishnava. Not only should we not insult a Vaishnava, but we should not insult anyone unnecessarily. When Suruchi insulted Dhruva Maharaj, he was just a child. She, of course, did not know that Dhruva was a great recognized Vaishnava. And so her offense was committed unknowingly. When one serves a Vaishnava unknowingly, one still gets the good result. And if one unknowingly insults a Vaishnava, one suffers the bad result. A Vaishnava is especially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pleasing him or displeasing him directly affects the pleasure and displeasure of the Supreme Lord. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his 8 stanzas of prayer to the spiritual master, has sung, Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado. By pleasing the spiritual master, who is a pure Vaishnava, one pleases the personality of Godhead. But if one displeases the spiritual master, one does not know where he is going. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado yasya aprasada nagati kutopi. So there is no destination for such a person who displeases the spiritual master. Om ajnana timrandasya jnananjana salakaya chakshur militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Chaitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Sapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrushabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Galadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Nitkrupa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinakayanam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. So before we start the class, I would like to offer my respectful, prostrated, humble obeisances at the lotus feet of all the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis assembled on this call. I seek blessings from each of you who have joined this call with great interest in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. I personally have no knowledge and no qualification and no realizations to speak on this subject matter. However, as an instruction from my seniors, and for the pleasure of Hari Guru and Vaishnavas, and for my own purification, I'm performing this seva. So please give me your blessings so that I can speak for the next few minutes for the pleasure of Hari Guru and Vaishnavas. So actually, I was going back to my previous notes that I prepared for the last lecture, for the last talk that I have given on this conference call. And it was actually Daksha being punished for offending Lord Shiva and Daksha being killed for offending Lord Shiva. And today also, it's not a coincidence, there is definitely a meaning to this, today also, the verses that we are reading are actually, it's a punishment for Mother Suruchi for insulting Dhruva. So I take this as an indication that I should be very, very careful in my dealings with Vaishnavas and in general every living entity. So all of us are very, very blessed and fortunate. So only by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, our Acharyas, and the most merciful incarnation, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, that we are able to read, study, and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Suta Goswami says that simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, just hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, one develops loving devotional service to Lord Krishna. And such devotional service extinguishes the fire of material existence. So we are all very, very fortunate. So coming to today's verses, in these verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, specifically in the story of Dhruva Maharaj, the Lord is teaching us the grave consequences of offending a Vaishnava or committing an offense to a Vaishnava. We learn the same lesson from the story of Ambarish Maharaj, the story of Nalakuvera and Manigrave, Daksha Prajapati, and you know the list just goes on. So especially in this case, even Srila Prabhupada highlights in the purport, that Mother Suruchi, she actually insulted Dhruva Maharaj and it resulted in her death. And the more important point is that she did not know that Dhruva Maharaj was a great Vaishnava. So basically, unknowingly she committed a Vaishnava aparad, yet she was punished. And also we have to understand the grave, the seriousness of the punishment. Basically, she was killed. And, you know, death is common. You know, everyone at one point, we all die. But the type of death that Suruchi had to undergo, you know, it is very untimely and it's very inauspicious. And it's very scary. Dying in forest fire, you know, it's very, very scary. So we can understand unknowingly. So two things that we can understand is that she committed a Vaishnava aparad unknowingly. Unknowingly, she committed an aparad to a Vaishnava, and then the consequence of such an aparad, unknowing aparad, is that she faced a untimely and inauspicious death. So we can understand how careful we should all be in our dealings with other Vaishnavas and in general, all people. See, our heart, it's like a clay pot. And when a clay pot is broken, it's very difficult to fix it, put it back. So similarly, our heart is like a clay pot, and any injury to the heart or any injury is basically like an insult. You know, if you insult a person, it's very difficult to mend it, or it's very difficult to pacify or repair such a heart. You know, we see a lot of suicides happening these days. And most of the times, you know, it is not a physical hurt that leads one to commit suicide. It's really a broken heart that causes one to take to the extreme step of suicide. So in general, we should be very careful in our dealings with, definitely with Vaishnavas, and in general with all people. So His Holiness Sadhanath Maharaj, Sadhanath Swami Maharaj, was mentioning that if we cannot love each and every living entity on this planet, then we cannot love Krishna. So I repeat, he says, if we cannot love each and every living entity on this planet, then we cannot love Krishna. You know, that's a very, very high standard. That's a very strong statement. And, you know, it takes a lot of effort from each and every one of us, you know, to reach that standard. And again, at the same time, we can do that only by the mercy of senior Vaishnavas, Hari Guru and Vaishnavas. So again, the important point to note is that we should not offend any Vaishnava, and we should not offend non-Vaishnavas also. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he mentions four kinds of offenses that we should watch out for. The first one we all know is Namaparad. Mataji was nicely reciting the 10 offenses that we should watch out. So the first offense that Bhaktivinoda Thakur cautions us about is the offense to holiness, which is Namaparad. And then the second offense he cautions is offense to the Supreme Lord, which is considered as Seva Aparad. And the third one is offense to the lotus feet of a devotee, which is Vaishnava Aparad. And the fourth one is unjust act, acting unkindly towards individual living entities. He calls this as Jiva Aparad. So in our day-to-day dealings, if we see any bad behavior, so let's say if somebody is acting in an improper manner, either it may be a Vaishnava or a non-Vaishnava, and if we have an authority or if we have a responsibility to correct such a person, such a behavior, then we have the right, we have the responsibility, or Guru has given us the authority to correct such a behavior, but it should be done in a very polite manner. And it should not be done in an insulting way, and it should not be done out of animosity. It should be done in a very polite manner, and such a correction, and this should be the goal, that such a correction should only be done to elevate the other person, and it should not be to hurt or insult the other person. We know that in the previous yugas, bad thoughts were also punished. If somebody is harboring a bad thought, if somebody has a bad thought towards another person, then such a person is punished. But in Kali Yuga, due to our degraded condition, the Lord gives us concession. He gave us a concession. The concession is that we are not punished for having bad thoughts. So does that mean that it is okay to think bad or ill of others? No, not at all. You know, we hear in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that as time goes by, when we harbor bad thoughts, you know, those bad thoughts eventually they will become words and actions. So today I may be thinking bad of a devotee or a person, you know, some living entity. So eventually as time goes by, you know, those thoughts sooner or later they will become words and actions. So that's why we should not harbor any bad thoughts. You know, it is difficult, but we should try. You know, if we try sincerely, if we pray sincerely to Hari Guru and Vaishnavas, you know, they will empower us. They will give us the intelligence to get rid of all bad thoughts. Okay, and we have to be careful. Firstly, we should not have any bad thoughts towards devotees. And the next level is to everyone, to all living entities. And that is the only way we can please Guru and Krishna. And we know again from Bhagavad Gita, we know that the three faculties, the primary three faculties of mind are thinking, willing and feeling. So this thinking, the thoughts of the bad thoughts about others, you know, that falls under the faculty of thinking. So the goal, the process of getting rid of these bad thoughts is controlling the mind. And in Kali Yuga, the process recommended to control the mind is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The holy name, Harinam, is very, very precious. And in this world, we all know who gives us the holy name. Is it Krishna? No, it is not Krishna. It is actually the devotees, the Vaishnavas, the sadhus that give us the holy name. So it's common sense now. The holy name is given by Vaishnavas. So will the holy name, which is not different than Krishna, be pleased if we offend the sadhus or Vaishnavas? No, the holy name will not be pleased. So that is why he said that if we do not have a taste to the holy name, if we do not have taste in chanting holy name, then it means that we are committing Vaishnava Aparat. And the Vaishnava Aparat, we may be committing it knowingly or unknowingly. But again, this is another clue for us. You know, if we have a strong desire to develop taste in chanting the holy name, in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then we have to sincerely make an effort to watch out for offenses, committing offenses. So our relationship with devotees, with Krishna and with the holy name, they go hand in hand. So the Prabhupada said that the process of Krishna consciousness is very, very simple, but it is not easy. So the process is simple, but the application is not easy. So the key for all of us is that as devotees, we should all work together as a single unit. You know, when there is more than one person involved in any activity, you know, there will be differences among devotees. There will be differences of opinions. There will be differences in approach. There will be differences in thoughts. It is for sure, because everyone has their own background, their own upbringing, their own mentality. But even amongst those different mentalities, if we all keep Krishna and the Vaishnavas in the center and render service for their pleasure, then Krishna will be pleased. And when Krishna is pleased, Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas are pleased. And when they are pleased, they will bless us. They will shower their mercy upon us. And with that mercy, we will be able to make progress in our bhakti and we will be able to avoid committing Vaishnava aparadha. So I was hearing a lecture by His Grace Gaurang Prabhu in which he was mentioning that Srila Prabhupada said coming to Krishna consciousness is difficult. You know, this point we can all see. You know, we approach so many people outside, either through book distribution or through prasadam distribution or through word of mouth, you know, or at office, at workplace. We approach so many people, but how many people come to Krishna consciousness? How many people come to ISKCON? You know, it is said every 10 people that we contact, 3 people are favorable and 1 person takes up to Krishna consciousness. So we see how difficult it is to come to Krishna consciousness. And then the second point that Srila Prabhupada mentioned is staying in Krishna consciousness is more difficult. Staying in Krishna consciousness is more difficult. And generally, this is because we all have different, you know, thoughts, different approaches, different backgrounds. So among those different qualities, you know, there will be some friction. But if our higher goal is pleasing Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas, you know, we will try to get past those differences and we will continue to stay in Krishna consciousness. And the third point that Srila Prabhupada mentions is staying happily in Krishna consciousness is the most difficult. You know, we see how it is becoming difficult. The first thing is coming to Krishna consciousness is difficult. The second thing is staying in Krishna consciousness is more difficult. The third thing is staying happily in Krishna consciousness is most difficult. So why is the third point staying happily most difficult? That is because Srila Prabhupada explains, because generally when we come to Krishna consciousness, the expectation from each of us is selfless service. That means we should not expect our own happiness, our own desires to be fulfilled. We should serve selflessly. We should serve so that Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas are pleased. So that should be our mood. That is the expectation from us. But our attitude is selfish pleasures. How can I satisfy myself and my family and my friends? So if we serve with that attitude, you know, that is selfish. That is not pleasing Krishna. So that is why staying happily in Krishna consciousness is most difficult, because we are expected to serve selflessly. We should serve for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. We should serve for the pleasure of Krishna. We should serve for the pleasure of Guru and Vaishnava. So that is the expectation. As long as we are not serving selflessly, we will be miserable in Krishna consciousness. And that is what Srila Prabhupada is saying, that staying happily in Krishna consciousness is most difficult. And it is most difficult only when we have selfish desires, selfish motives. In Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai Sambad, in the conversation between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai, it's a very beautiful narration, conversation. And I think Adigaya Prabhu and other devotees have already spoken on that before. So I'll just highlight a couple of points. Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Rai as to what is the most distress, painful distress amongst all distresses. So the question that Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Rai is, what is the most painful distresses, most painful distress amongst all distresses? And Ramananda Rai replied, does anyone want to answer this? What is the most painful distress amongst all distresses?
Separation from the devotees, association.
Perfect, Mataji. Exactly. 100% correct. Ramananda Rai replied that separation from the devotee of Krishna is the most unbearable distress. It brings the most unhappiness, and it is the most unfortunate event in one's life. So we can understand how fortunate we are to have devotee association. And just to add a little bit more to this point, in the Vedic literature, four symptoms of bad fortune are mentioned. Lord Vishnu, he describes four symptoms of bad fortune. The first one is a person who does not worship Lord Hari. The second one is a person who is very attached to his own body and his family. And the third one is who does not associate with Vaishnavas. And the fourth one is a person who does not render service to his superiors. So these are the four symptoms of bad fortune. So now if we look at Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, if we try to analyze these four points, the first point that Lord Vishnu mentions is one who does not worship Lord Hari. And Prabhupada, through ISKCON, gave us devotional service to Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Gaur Nitai, Sri Sri Jagannath Balaji Subhadra Maharani and Sudarshan Maharaj. So Srila Prabhupada has given us this worship, this process of worship to Lord Hari. So the first point, you know, we are all fortunate because we are able to worship Lord Hari. And the second one that Lord Vishnu mentions is attachment to body and family. The person who is attached to body and family is very unfortunate. Now, when we come into ISKCON, one of the first points that we understand or that we are taught is that we are not this body, we are the soul, that we are part and parcel of Krishna, and we are the eternal servant of Krishna. So the second point that Lord Vishnu mentions, which is most unfortunate, has been covered by Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada made it fortunate for us by joining ISKCON. And the third point that Lord Vishnu mentions is a person who does not associate with Vaishnavas. And one of the biggest opportunity that Srila Prabhupada gave us through ISKCON is association of devotees. We can all perform devotional service in the association of devotees. And the fourth one is service to superiors. And in ISKCON, we have so many senior devotees. We have so many superiors that we can serve lovingly in whatever way we can, you know. It may not be physically, it may be in any way, you know, we have an opportunity to serve senior devotees. So Srila Prabhupada has given us everything in ISKCON. So we are all very, very fortunate to be part of Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, and we have to take advantage. We should see, we live in this material world, and we have our own duties at the material level, but at the same time, being part of ISKCON, you know, we should take advantage of the opportunities that Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Varga has given us, our Acharyas have given us, and make sincere effort, put sincere efforts and make sincere attempt to progress in our bhakti, and at the same time contribute to ISKCON in whatever way we can, and never leave the association of devotees. Whatever problems we may, definitely we will face problems. This material world, Krishna says, this material world is Shashvatam Dukkalayam Padam Padam Vipadam. There are difficulties at every step. And even amongst devotees, there will be differences. Because Maya, she tries to take advantage of any situation and tries to test us. That's her duty, to test us, to make sure we are 100% ready to go back to Goloka Vrindavan. So we should put in our effort, we should pray sincerely, we should chant our rounds sincerely by praying to Hari Guru and Vaishnavas, that we get rid of this tendency of committing aparadhas, especially to Vaishnavas, and in general to all living entities, and make progress in our devotional life so that we can please Hari Guru and Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I'll end my talk here. Thank you all for this great opportunity, for giving me an opportunity to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. If there are any comments or feedback, please share it now.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranams. Please accept my humble obeisances. Very beautiful class. It was so well presented. Thank you so much. Tough subject matter. I had a question actually. So the question is, when we say we make an offense and we are asked to beg forgiveness from the Vaishnava, and when the Vaishnava forgives us, it's kind of, you know, we are kind of absolved from that whatever reaction. Like in the case of Durvasa Muni and Ambarish also, we see a similar situation. Or even in our own lives, we are instructed, if we commit an offense, we are expected to go and ask, please forgive me. And if that person forgives, it is said that you're relieved, right? So my question here is, once Dhruva Maharaj, I mean, it appears that this was quite a strong punishment for Suruchi, reason being, of course, she offended Dhruva Maharaj when he was like 5 or less than 5 or whatever. He's a small baby and she offended him. But once Dhruva Maharaj went back, he didn't harbor any feelings. He was so nice to her, or rather, that's what I understood from Bhagavatam, that they really didn't harbor any hard feelings after that. He seemed to have forgiven her, and she also seemed to have, been nice with him later, and there were no problems. So why such a punishment? I mean, I somehow feel somewhere the equation is not complete or something. Why such a big punishment for Suruchi and her son, for both of them?
So Mataji, this is just my thought. It's a very wonderful question. See, Dhruva Maharaj, as a Vaishnava, you know, generally we don't take any offense. Ambarish Maharaj, if you see the story of Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni, Ambarish Maharaj, when Durvasa Muni fell at Ambarish Maharaj's feet, Ambarish Maharaj was, you know, like he felt so humble that he was wondering why Durvas Muni was falling at his feet. He did not even think that Durvas Muni did anything wrong. Vaishnava, I think it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur who was mentioning that Vaishnava, if somebody offends a Vaishnava, the Vaishnava thinks that he is worthy of such a treatment. He deserves such a treatment. That is why he is being treated that way. That is why that other person is offending me. That's how the Vaishnava thinks. So Durvasa Muni never, he was hurt, but then he did not, he was not offended. He was definitely hurt, but then he was not offended. And then, another thing that we have to learn is that all these pastimes in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is actually a lesson for all of us. So, it is to teach us what is the graveness of committing a Vaishnava aparad. There should be some examples so that people can, digest and understand the graveness. If there are no examples, then at least I will not learn. So, that's what I feel, Mataji.
Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, even I was also thinking of the same point. Even a real Vaishnava is not the one who thinks that person, offended me.
Right.
Like that.
Right.
So. Okay. Right. Thank you. Thank you for the answer, Prabhu. That's the truth.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. It was a very wonderful class, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, thank you.
Yeah, regarding that, what you call the offense, Prabhu, offense, Mataji, the real Vaishnava, he may not take the offense, but the Supreme Lord will be offended. So, for that purification, we have to undergo all punishments.
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Koti Koti Janpat Pranam. God is your Das Prabhu. Sachi God Das Prabhu. I want to introduce Sachi God Das Prabhu. He is so sincere Vaishnava. He is Charitaka Maharaj disciple, Haridas and Gopala's father. thank you very much for your assistance, Sachi God Das Prabhu. And it is really work that sometimes sometimes some Vaishnava hurt us and we say, we are not able to forgive them. Today's class is especially for me, Sachi God Pran Prabhu, and with pranam to your seva, please give your assistance and regularly. Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam, and close Krishna Prabhupada. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you very much. Very, very nicely you have explained. Hare Krishna. I don't have a question.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Vrinda Gopika Mataji, did you have a question or was that just a comment?
No, Prabhu, Dhanvat Pranam, there is no question. I am not qualified to ask any question to you, Dhanvat Pranam.
Oh, Krishna, Mataji, thank you, Mataji. You are a very senior Vaishnava, very sincere devotee, and I know how humble and you are always serving devotees. Please bless me, Mataji, so I can also one day imbibe your mood. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. We all are learners. Nobody is senior and junior in bhakti. I learn so many things from you. Dhanvat Pranam.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah, the four apras, I missed the second one from Bhaktivinoda Thakur Prabhu, like Nama Aparad and then Vaishnava Aparad. What was the second
one? Seva Aparad. Seva Aparad, Prabhuji. Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful class today. We always learn so much in these classes, and thank you so much for your association today.
Thank you very much, Mataji. I feel blessed for getting this opportunity. You know, because I had to prepare, you know, I had to put in extra effort to prepare for this lecture. So that helps me go a little bit deeper to study. So it's always a blessing. So I'm very fortunate that I have been given this opportunity. Thank you very much, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Does anyone else have any more questions or realizations to be shared with Prabhuji today?
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Prabhuji, it says in Satya Yoga, people lived for hundreds and thousands of years. So, after coming from there, Dhruva Maharaj ruled for 36,000 years. Right, Prabhuji?
Yes, Mataji. Yes, Mataji. Yeah.
So, the story happened in Satya Yuga, Prabhuji, right?
Right.
Okay.
No more questions for Prabhuji this morning. We would like to end this call here, but I would like to thank Prabhuji one more time for such a wonderful class. We are really grateful to you, Prabhuji, and we look forward to having your association again in future. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Mataji.
Vancha kalptarubhya shakrapasindhubhya evachya patitanam pavanepyo vaishnavepyo namo namaha. Then start Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, His Grace Sachi Pran Gaurahari Prabhuji ki jai, Hare Krishna.